If you like the Restless Nomads radio show and other community shows, check out goldcountryradio.org. We have a featured show section on there, and you can click on that and listen to the latest episode as well as all the previous episodes to get caught up on your favorite community shows. We've got all kinds of topics that are really, really interesting. RV pro tip of the week: to conserve LP gas and electricity in your RV, only turn your water heater on about 30 minutes before you need hot water, whether it's for a shower, washing dishes, or any other issue. Once the water reaches that temperature, cut that water heater off. Now, this is especially important for the tank type water heaters that use electric and propane. There's no reason for you to constantly be heating that water up and burning through that propane or using that electricity. If you're at an RV park and you're plugged into shore power and not paying for electricity, then heck, why not leave the electricity on for the water heater? But if you leave the propane on, the same with your on-demand water heater, it's probably just a good idea to shut the propane off of that to conserve on your propane usage. If you leave the propane on your water heater all the time, you'll find yourself with empty LP tanks sooner than later. Okay, let's get into some things to look for when shopping for RVs. Let's talk a little bit about warranties. Now, extended warranties, I don't know. Some people love them, some people hate them. There's mixed reviews on it. Some people claim that they've saved them a bunch of money. Some people say that they aren't worth the trouble because the warranty company is going to fight you tooth and nail not to have to pay out, which I tend to lean towards that. For one thing, they generally have a list of exclusions and requirements. So I've seen a lot of extended warranties where it states that you have to take the RV in to have it resealed every 6 months. Now, you have to pay the shop to reseal it in order to gain a receipt to stay within compliance of your warranty. The shop is going to charge you an arm and a leg for labor to reseal that RV, and if you don't pay it, then your warranty becomes void. So, that's something to think about. If you are a DIYer and you're going to do a lot of this yourself, you'll probably fall out of compliance just by nature of you doing this stuff by yourself. Or if you're neglectful, you'll fall out of compliance with the warranty too, and then you paid all that money for absolutely nothing. Extended warranties generally cover appliances 5 to 6 years. You usually have manufacturer warranties for 1 to 2 years on those appliances and also on the frame of the RV. And oftentimes, the roof will come with a warranty. Not that that means much, but there are, that's in the marketing, 25-year roof warranty, you know. Of course, they're always going to find some reason. They're talking about manufacturer defects, like if you have a bubble on the roof and the roof flies off as you're going down the road, which can happen. But if, you know, a branch falls on it and scrapes the EPDM or something like that, and then water gets in there, they're not going to replace your roof for you. Don't be misled. So always read the fine print on these warranties if you're even considering it. And also be aware that when you take your RV to the shop is going to have to reach out to the warranty company to plead the case, try to get the work approved. And then also, they have to get every single part involved approved by the warranty company. And then they likely will have to order the parts, and then you will have to wait your turn in line when it comes to servicing. So it is not uncommon for people to have their RVs in the shop for 9 months at a time getting warranty work done, especially because they know they've got it in the bank. It's not like they're working for new cash. It's old money, right? You already paid for it. The warranty company is going to pay them, but they're not going to pay them nearly how much you're going to pay them. Just like insurance health insurance doesn't pay doctors nearly as much as the out-of-pocket cost, right? So the shops are not as motivated. Oftentimes, they'll just straight out turn down warranty work. Many times, you have to take it back to the original dealer in order to get the warranty work done. Well, what if you are on a six-month road trip and something happens in Maine and your RV dealer is in Bend, Oregon? That's going to be an issue. And there are exclusionary policies, exclusions in the warranties usually that state if you continue to use it, the RV, the whole RV, after something has gone wrong, your warranty is void. So in my opinion, if I were you, I would just get really good at DIY repairs and fix things on your own. Fixing things by yourself can not only save you a bunch of time and a bunch of money, and if you get in over your head, you can call a mobile RV tech or take your RV to a shop and pay cash. They'll be much more motivated to get the job done and get you out of there, parting you with your cash, because cash is king, right? Now, not to say that there's very little on an RV that cannot be easily fixed, really. Big frame issues, slide out having to come out, that kind of thing, things that require special equipment, those things you might be in a little bit over your head. But most of the things that arise in an RV, you can do on your own. I've used YouTube as my education source, pretty much my sole education source. There are so many, many resources on YouTube that you can watch and learn how to do things on your RV. And you can even diagnose your problems with YouTube. So that's how I've done it. I've personally repaired electrical and plumbing issues sitting right in a campground. I avoid that long wait for the warranty work, and it makes me feel a little more independent. I like the fact that once I fix something, I have learned that system, I know it in and out, and if any other problem arises in the future, I'll be able to fix it right there on site. It's not exactly what I want to be doing when I take the trailer to the lake and we're supposed to spend a fun-filled weekend, and then I've got a leak or I've got an electrical problem. Not particularly what I want to do, but it sure beats taking the RV back to the shop and leaving it there for 3 months and having to go home and cancel the trip. So just think about that. Carry a basic toolkit with you and familiarize yourself with your RV systems. That's critical. You never want to go RVing or boating, for that matter, without a toolkit on board. And you will use those tools because, let me tell you, if you're buying your first trailer or your first motorhome and you think that everything is just going to work flawlessly all the time, you're in for a rude awakening. These things are like a hurricane and an earthquake hit a house at the same time, and a poorly built house at that. Going down the interstate at 70 miles an hour, things are going to break. Things are going to get loose. Things are going to fall out. Things are going to break inevitably. It's going to happen. So be prepared for that and learn how to fix this stuff. A lot of it is minor cosmetic stuff, right? But you need to be able to know how to fix it. And then when you start determining the most common points of failure, you know, like fuses, it's a good idea to carry some fuses with you. A lot of people find out what kind of water pump they need, and they just put that somewhere in the RV too, because that is going to fail eventually. You're going to have to buy one. Might as well have the spare on hand for when it happens, and you can change it out. No big deal. So get handy and save yourself a bunch of headache, a bunch of time, and a bunch of money. Let me just give you, we've been looking at trailers recently, and let me just tell you, you know, they're pitching us the extended warranties, and they're also telling us the labor costs and so forth. So I'm not going to name the business, but recently I went and looked at a travel trailer, and they told me that they could fill my propane tanks up for $37. And I said, oh, that's pretty much the going rate. Sure, let's do it. And they said, okay, well, there's a $60 labor charge for that. To fill a propane tank takes about 5 minutes max, and they wanted to charge $60 for it. They also, I was interested in some 6-volt batteries to put on the travel trailer, which are easier to install than 12-volt batteries, by the way. The batteries were going to be, I think, $400-something, and they wanted to charge me $350 labor to install the batteries, a job that I could do in literally 2 minutes. So be cognizant of that. The RV industry is going to take advantage of your ignorance. They try to make everything so complicated, or seem so complicated, when it really isn't. So just YouTube the heck out of this stuff and get good at it. You can even replace the air conditioning on the roof with minimal experience. When buying a used RV, take a close look at the plumbing, the joints, especially like we talked about, the flex and PEX. If there's a leak and it was never addressed, even a small leak, over time that can really wreak havoc on the RV. Used RVs, harder to finance, just so you know, because they lose value so quickly. The minute you drive it off the lot, it just drops in value more than cars even. So be aware of that. And really check your sealant and your caulking jobs on these used RVs, because if at some point in its lifetime it had a crack in the caulking and water got in there, then it's going to cause a significant amount of damage. Other than that, you really go through the same process with a used RV as far as checking all the appliances, making sure everything works. And a lot of times, used RVs, you can get them for a bargain. I'm not saying used RVs are bad. They're actually kind of good in a way, because you can get them at a much lower price point after the depreciation has hit, and they have already been what I call shaken out. So when you buy a new RV straight from the manufacturer, there's about a year period or so that every time you take it out, you're going to find nitinoid things that are wrong with it, and you'll have to fix them, because everything is just getting shaken out. Used RVs, a lot of the time, those that period has passed, and the former owner has already corrected those little nitinoid problems for you. So there are some advantages to that. Just know that if you want to finance it, it's much more difficult to finance a used RV than it is a new RV, because of that loan-to-value that the bank is looking at. Well, that wraps up this episode of the Restless Nomads RV Show. I hope you enjoyed today's deep dive into RV shopping tips. Visit therestlessnomads.com for more guides and helpful resources. Be sure to check out RV Rigger on YouTube. I'm plugging him. He has not paid me. I use him as a customer. You know, I watch his YouTube videos, and it's incredible. You can check him out on the web at undercoverrvshopper.com. for even more detailed reviews and inspection tips. Until next time, safe travels and happy camping.